Okay, so we talked about MIT and Stanford. When they tried to explain the 14 kids, the ACIP panel looked at the 14 kids that died. You know, kids, 13, you know, 12 to 17-year-old kids dying from pulmonary embolism, intracranial hemorrhage, and heart attack. That just doesn't happen that way. That's not why kids are supposed to die. You know, that they're supposed to die more from cancer and from other things. They're not supposed to die from these things. And kids just don't die in the middle of a Zoom call. They're there where they're perfectly normal. Like they were checked, like, hey, yeah, I talked to him like 20 minutes before he died, and he was perfectly normal. He's in the middle of a Zoom call in a math class, and Jen just drops dead. That's not normal. But, you know, the ACIP committee that reviewed this data said, you know, this kid's died from this and that and that. We don't see any problem here. And they just moved right on. So it's not 14 kids that died. That's 14 times 41, at least, that died. That's more kids than have died already, you know, from COVID. It's more kids died from the vaccine than died from COVID. But let's vaccinate all the kids. And we're basically going to kill a lot of kids. It's very sad. If you're seeing a lot of black swans lately, BA pilots, you know, four British Airways pilots, they died within the span of a little over a month. Four British Airways pilots don't die in a month. I mean, it's rare if you get one death in a year on a British Airways pilot. To have four die in basically a month period, I had my statistician calculate that out, and he said, yeah, it's like one chance in 525,000 that would happen. In other words, it didn't happen by chance. Okay, so what killed all four in the same month? Well, there's a rumor that they were all vaccinated, but when we wrote into the, I'm a journalist, I write for TrialSite News. I wrote in with my press credentials essentially to the British Airways press office, and I asked them, hey, were these guys vaccinated? They were really friendly up until the point where I asked whether these people were vaccinated. And then they stopped responding to me. Women's cricket team. Hey, this is a great link to click on because women are 2.5 times more likely to suffer adverse events from this vaccine than men. This is why you see a lot of these victim videos that are women, and they're women, they're not men, because the women are much more likely to be affected. So this women's cricket team gets injected with the vaccine a few days before their game. One of them drops on the field in just violent convulsions. They had to be taken off the field, and you know, you can see on the stretcher violent convulsions. 5 minutes later, another member of the team. There are only 11 people on the team. So what do you th have you ever seen anything like that before in your life? Well, they had something in common. They were all vaccinated. Captain Nashad. You can click on that and read it. Perfectly healthy pilot. He's at the controls. You know, just conks out. He's flying the plane. He conks out. He's basically dead. He had a heart attack and was then taken to a hospital and died. He's vaccinated. Okay. You know, these things about people have never needed to report to VAERS before because they had no cases. And now I have 2,000 cases and reported two and gave up. I mean, that tells you something. The creator of the VSafe app died right after he got the vaccine. I think it was the second dose. Reporters at the New York Times and NPR had their stories killed by the paper when they try to write about this. Top scientists are getting their papers accepted by the journal. They get the galley proofs done. Journal decides not to run the story. I'm not alone. like doctors, neurologists, medical examiners, nurses, a lot of them are afraid to speak out because of fear of retribution. You know, look what happened to Byron Brittle. All the people at his university basically wrote this memo saying, "We don't agree with Byron." And I said, "Okay, let's have a scientific debate on it. Who will debate him?" None of them raised their hands. They would all criticize him in a heartbeat. Like the entire faculty criticized him. But none of them would debate him. Charles Hoff. Now he got, you know, lost his license. He just got kicked out because he said, "Look, vaccines are dangerous." So what was his incentive to lose his license? Like, why? He had 1,000 patients. One of them died. He says it was clearly due to the vaccine. Dr. Christian, same kind of story. Disciplined. I think they took away his license. I don't think he can practice anymore. Peter McCullough, like, I don't know, multi-million-dollar lawsuit from Baylor to try to intimidate him so he's not speaking out. And what's weird is that the lawsuit comes from lawyers who are outside attorneys. It's not coming from the Baylor attorneys. It's coming from an outside law firm. That never happens. Baylor always sues with their own internal people. Why are they putting an outside law firm to sue Peter McCullough? It's probably being funded by an outside party. Here's France's Professor Christian Perron. He's France's longtime vaccine policy chief. He says COVID policy is completely stupid and unethical. And I hope you will go and download this presentation and click on this and read the article. He sounds like me. Now, what are the chances that all of these people went rogue at the same time on the same issue for no reason? And there wasn't even a movement to join. It's not like we're all members of QAnon, you know, and we all subscribe to this, you know, weird shit. We all found out kind of independently, or one person talked to another one, that the vaccines are not safe. And some of us are more successful in speaking out than others. But everybody on this list says there is a big problem here. Right? And I'm just noticing, I forgot to, there are a bunch of people that should have been on this list that I neglected. But it's a big list of, you know, some people are more prominent than others. Aubrey Naguiri is a healthcare worker, right? He's kind of like at the, you know, there are people who are world class on this, right? So, I mean, I'm just showing you the spectrum here. So, Charles Hoff, for speaking out, he was paid back. They burned his town down. He moved to a new town. They burned that down too. Like, these people are trying to send a message. They're not evil people. They're just trying to tell the truth, and people don't like the truth. You know, the woman that runs the OpenVIRUS system, all she's doing is giving people public access to the VIRUS database so they can find out the truth. She had to move out of her house because, you know, her house was egged and all this stuff was happening, and, you know, it was her information was published on the web. You know, these people basically get attacked by telling the truth. That's how they get rewarded. So nobody's doing this because they want to get attacked. They're doing this to let people know that these vaccines are super dangerous and should be halted immediately. And the vaccine mandates are completely unethical, immoral, and just, you know, it's really criminal, what's going on. Okay, more reasons. unbalanced news coverage. We talked about that earlier, intimidation tactics. We talked about McCullough, early treatment works. You know, we have a George Fareed and Brian Tyson protocol. 99.76 risk reduction. That is better than any vaccine. And there's no death, right? So it accomplishes everything the vaccines could do in terms of the risk reduction. There's no death. There's no disablement. It's like, almost like the perfect vaccine. You get COVID, you start this early treatment protocol, you're fine. You don't even get long haul COVID, which you do get if you get the vaccine and you get COVID. You will 20% get long haul COVID, even though you've been vaccinated. But if you get early treatment, you don't get long haul COVID, you don't go to the hospital, and you develop better immunity. So, and it's never been challenged. NIH is not interested in looking at that at all. 99.76, hey, you know, hey, if it was 100%, they still wouldn't be interested in seeing it because it's not the vaccine. You know, Fauci has all this invested in the vaccine, and he can't go back down and say, I was wrong. He can't say, I was wrong. He will never say, I was wrong, right? No politician will ever say, I was wrong. We are in this. People are going to be forced to take the vaccine because nobody wants to say they're wrong. That's what it amounts to. The German authorities denied the request of the Federal Association of German Pathologists for autopsies. Nobody's calling for autopsies in the U.S. Isn't that weird? You know, 6,000 deaths in VAERS, over 200,000 deaths. Nobody's calling for autopsies on these people so we can find out. Professional autopsies, like done by like the best people in the United States. No, we're not doing it. People would find out the truth if we did that. The medical professionals basically are hypocrites. You know, evidence-based medicine says that ivermectin is at the top of the pyramid, the evidence-based medicine pyramid, and we'll talk about that shortly. But the FDA and the EMA want to get it banned. They don't want people to have access to a life-saving drug. And they're forcing people to use horse ivermectin because they can't get the human ivermectin. So all these calls to the Poison Control Center, which we think were funded by Pfizer, actually, but if they're legitimate, this wasn't caused by Pierre Corey. This is caused by the FDA and the AMA. Because people want these treatments that work, and they're being denied it by the FDA and the AMA. The FDA, here's another example. This is great. The FDA pulled NAC from the market. NAC's been on the market for 60 years. It's in 1,500 products in 60 years. Why did the FDA pull NAC from the market so that it was available by prescription only? Because it was discovered that NAC could be used as a treatment for COVID. So they made it by prescription only. How do you explain that? How do you, NAC's killed like nobody over 60 years. Why did they, it's in 1,500 products which all had to be reformulated to not have NAC in them. Otherwise, they'd have to be by prescription only. Why did the FDA do that? Well, we don't know. They actually, you know, like never explained it. Timing was really suspicious though. And, you know, it's not just the VAERS adverse event reports that we have to go on. Facebook is beautiful proof. So here's a message to me. Facebook deleted a larger group for vax side effects in France. 230,000 people. Like, what are these people talking about if it's safe and effective? 230,000 people in France? You know, that's like the equivalent, right? When you look at the number vaccinated, that's like the equivalent of 2 million injured in the United States. You know, if you say, hey, well, not everybody knows about the Facebook group, right? So, you know, Facebook is just doing an amazing job here. We had a Canadian one that was up to 100,000 people that got deleted as well. There were lots of posts every single day. The stuff people were posting was wild about the side effects that they had. I mean, none of this stuff is being made up. I mean, look at this. The person's crying here. Could be a way to initiate victim voices need to be heard. And basically, what Facebook is doing is stamping out the ability for people to get help on these neurological conditions that they face. If I was at Facebook, I would quit. But I guess the people who work at Facebook, they just don't care. And that's really sad. They've done a stellar job of making sure that vaccine victims cannot find each other. So here's another post. I was in about six different side effects groups in the UK, USA, Australia, all got removed. Six different side effect groups in all these countries, they all got removed by Facebook. Now, why do these groups keep popping up? The vaccines are totally safe. I don't get it. You see, it's not consistent with this, with the narrative that they're safe and effective. Why did Facebook need to remove these groups? Okay, so let's talk about how the fact checkers will attack this, because this will be attacked by fact checkers. They'll say, Kirsch made this video, and here's what they're going to say. He's not a doctor and doesn't have a medical degree. He was discredited in Wikipedia. Yep, go on Wikipedia. There's a fact check from Reuters, which is false, and I'm discredited by that, and I can't change it because they said I would have to supply evidence from a systematic review. And since there is no evidence from a systematic review, because there aren't any systematic reviews yet on this, I can't get it reversed. So I'm being defamed on Wikipedia, and there is no way for me to reverse that defamation because some Reuters fact check says that I'm wrong. So it's all up to these fact checkers. So, and it's just, they'll say it's just Kirsch and a few other wackos. The top German pathologist couldn't have determined that, even though he was actually the one that saw the bodies. I'm doing it for the money, but they won't have any evidence of a conflict of interest. If they do, I'd love to see it, because I'm sure not finding money in this. And they'll say that Matthew Crawford's a math teacher. Yeah, he is a math teacher, but he teaches the smartest people on planet Earth, which means he's really smart. But they won't, they'll omit that part. The fact checkers will say, well, you can't infer causality from VAERS. So they'll repeat the statement, which basically you can't, I've just disproved right at the very beginning. I told you why you can infer causality. Dose one, dose two dependencies. VAERS is unreliable. Anyone can report. Yeah, that's true. Anybody can report. But and so you can't make inferences. What that's what they'll say, but you can, right? And there's a great paper, the McLaughlin paper, and it's in the materials. Look at that, and they did a detailed analysis of 250 VAERS records that they pulled at random, and they looked at analysis, and they said something like 86%. Could have been caused by the vaccines, and looks like 14. There's not enough data for us to make a determination because it just says death died, and you can't make a determination on that in terms of causality. So they said, most of these cases look, super legit. They'll say that the FDA said I didn't properly interpret the VAERS data. Yep, they said that, but I did. And they got no evidence. They got, there's excess reporting. It's all background deaths. Well, we showed that that's not quite consistent with the data. And then they'll raise the evidence bar. They'll say that the deaths have to be coincidental until proven. Okay. And there's no autopsy linking deaths to the vaccine. Yep. I know, because there are no autopsies. And if there were any autopsies, they'd be done by people who don't have the right tools, the right time, all that stuff. And they'll say, to add insult to injuries, that Crawford's work isn't peer-reviewed. Of course it's not peer-reviewed. No journal is ever going to publish that study. I don't care how good it is, no journal will publish it. So if you want to peer review it, send it to your friend and ask them to find a hole in it and have them take my $1 million offer. Wikipedia says I'm lying about the spike protein being dangerous. Here's the, Alex Berenson used to be a reporter for the New York Times. He's also risking his reputation on this. Pay no attention to the spike proteins behind the curtain. Wrote a nice little article. And, so this is what is in Wikipedia about me saying, I said that the COVID vaccines are very dangerous. Yes, because they are very dangerous. That's why I said that. But of course, this is a false claim according to Wikipedia. But we cannot get this changed in Wikipedia. They denied any changes. The fact checkers refuse to be challenged, including Wikipedia. None of them will debate me or bet me. Why not? If I'm lying, why not take my money? They hide in anonymity, like the Wikipedia people. They're not going to disclose who they are. And of course, the people who do the fact checks, they generally ignore any challenges to their fact checks because they're right and you're wrong. I think a better way forward is to end the vaccine mandates, end the vaccine, or at least make it like you should educate people on there are 200,000 deaths, so you could be one of them, get the vaccine, right? I mean, that should be like the advertising. I could run the advertising campaign for the vaccine. Take the vaccine, it's the quick. Like, look, I've talked to morticians. Like, they love the vaccines, right? It's great for business. Like business was way up. Like one guy reported it was like he's never seen anything like it after they rolled out the vaccines. And he's not allowed to talk about it or disclose his identity because he'd be fired for talking about it. But you got to believe that these businesses just love not having, they want to make sure you don't find out about it. So no mortician's going to talk about this. So better way forward. Early treatment protocols. If you want to include prophylaxis in that, that's fine. Early treatment benefits, higher relative risk reduction over 99%. Simple prophylaxis protocols can be used for with up to 100% success in studies. Greater safety. They lower all-cause mortality and all-cause morbidity, unlike the vaccines. They work equally well on all variants. That's a nice feature. They don't promote escape variants because it's really the vaccine, they're the people who are vaccinated that are causing these escape variants to be created. They don't cause vaccine-enhanced infectivity and replication. They don't risk the original antigenic sin, otherwise known as linked epitope suppression. They don't cause prion diseases like Alzheimer's. They prevent. And dementia, they prevent long-haul COVID syndrome nearly 100% of the time. So if you get a good early treatment protocol, especially if you're using fluvoxamine, super important, you're not going to see any long-haul COVID symptoms. In fact, in one study, which you can look up, done by David Seftel, 60% of the patients who didn't get fluvoxamine developed long-haul COVID symptoms, 0% in the treatment group. And it was just one drug. It was just 50 milligrams twice a day of fluvoxamine. Doctors here won't prescribe it, even though it's proven in phase two and phase three trials. They will not prescribe it here because the NIH says neutral. Doesn't matter what the scientific evidence says. It's all political. And also early treatment, you get what's called recovered immunity. Some people call it natural immunity, but it should be called recovered immunity, which is 13 to 27 times stronger and more durable than vaccine-induced immunity. And you can look up the references in the scientific literature. They're all included there. Early treatment benefits, I love these. No more mask mandates. Who cares? You can get sick sooner or later. You might as well get sick You're going to get it sooner or later. Just get immune. The way you get immune is to get it and treat it early. Get the drugs on hand. Go around a mass list. Pick up the virus. No more lockdowns. No more social distancing. No masking of kids in school. No need to send all kids home. If there's one sick child, send the sick child home. So early treatments basically turn COVID into a mild cold. And it gets us to herd immunity quickly. So then the whole problem goes away. And you saw what happened in Israel when they did the vaccination program. Cases skyrocketed. Look what happened in India, where they're using essentially natural immunity. Cases are going down. I mean, it's pretty clear. But again, everybody like just follows the experts. Whatever Fauci said, whatever Fauci says, it must be the truth. Even though Fauci says, hey, masks don't do anything. No, they do. Hey, it's going to be over. Nah, just kidding. We're not going to need a booster. Now we do. Everybody is like, whatever Fauci says, people are like robots. They don't look at the data. They're going to ignore this presentation. It's robotic. It is whatever Fauci says, we do. It's like Simon Says. This is what, and it's the entire world. And Tony Fauci is Simon. And whatever he says, people will do.